Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Valerie, we received a list of teenage resolutions for teenagers to make to their parents. You had read some of these and commented on them, but I don't think we got through the whole list. I think it would be a very good idea if you would just read the whole list, Val, and if you have some comments that you want to make on some of them, feel free.
Okay. Resolved, I will obey your instructions and do what I know you expect of me, even when it is not mentioned. I will not force you into repeated reminders, which I sometimes call nagging. Resolved, I will not grumble or complain when I do my chores, but remember what a great thing it is to have a family and a home and clothes and food and running water and electric light and central heating in a world where millions of teenagers have none of these. Resolved, when I think your demands are unfair, I will move to do them first, and after showing an obedient attitude, I will ask if we can talk. Then I will explain my side and try to understand yours. Resolved, I will not stonewall you and give you the silent treatment which I dislike when my friends do it to me. If I am depressed and want to be left alone, I will say, I am sorry, I don't feel like talking now. Can we talk later? I'm not mad, I just need to be alone. Resolved, when I do something wrong and let you down, I will apologize sincerely with words that you can hear. Something like, Mom, I'm sorry, I didn't pick up the clothes. Resolved, I will call you by affectionate family titles like Mommy or Daddy or Mom or Dad, and I won't let other kids pressure me into calling you nothing or calling you something disrespectful as though true affection were embarrassing or childish. Resolved, I will say thank you again and again for the ordinary things you do for me. I will not take them for granted as though you were my slave. Resolved, I will talk about my feelings, both the positive ones, like happiness, pity, excitement, sympathy, etc., and the negative ones, like anger, fear, grief, loneliness, discouragement, etc. I will remember that unshared feelings leads to estrangement and coldness, and even more loneliness and discouragement. Resolved, I will laugh with the family and not at the family. I will especially laugh when my little brother or sister tells a simple joke with expectant excitement. Resolved, I will give 2 compliments for every criticism, and every criticism will aim to help someone improve, not just belittle or cut down. Resolved, I will enter into family devotions and treat Bible reading and prayer with respect, and do my part to help others in the family enjoy them. When I don't feel spiritually strong, I will pray about this as a personal need rather than pouring it on others as a glass of cold water. I will remember that confessed weakness knits hearts together. Resolved, I will not return evil for evil or try to justify my meanness because somebody treated me meanly first. Resolved, I will read my Bible and pray every day, even if it is only a verse and a brief call for help. I know that teens cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Resolved, I will come home at the time we agreed on. If something happens to stop me, I will call and explain and ask your guidance. Resolved, I will greet our guests with courtesy and respect and try to make them glad they came. Resolved, I will always tell the truth so that you can trust me and give me more and more freedom as I get older. That's the end of the resolutions, and they're certainly wonderful. And I think parents, if they see the list before the teenagers see the list, need to pray, they could take the list together and say, Lord, would you work in our children's hearts so that they would want to make a list of resolutions like this and want to give them to us? But I don't think a parent could take this list and say, my son needs to do this or my son needs to follow this, and then just shove it in their son's face, because it probably would put up a wall right away if there is already a distance between the child and the parent.
Do you have some comments on some of those, Val?
Yes, I think this one about, I will enter into family devotions and treat Bible reading and prayer with respect and do my part to help others in the family enjoy them. My husband has a difficult time corralling everybody to have devotions, and I have seen where I can really help to get everybody's attention to listen to him. But I've also seen, if some of the children are not the least bit interested, how distracting that is to everyone else. And the older children can set a wonderful example. If they're ready to sit and ready to listen and ready to look respectfully at their father. And so this would be a tremendous resolution for all of the children to take to heart. Something that the mother could suggest even when the father is gone. Let's get prepared for when Daddy has devotions. Let's be ready to listen to him, and let's pray together now that we'll have an open ear and we'll be ready to encourage the younger ones. I think of how my little Theo, who's two, question that's from the Heidelberg Catechism that's up on the wall in our kitchen. It begins with the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And we have this long answer to it, but it's basically saying, my only comfort is in Jesus Christ, my Lord, who saved me. And we've read that so many times that little Theo, when he knows that we're about to have our family reading, often will point to it and go, huh? Which means, are we going to say that or are we going to read it? So I say, would you like us to say that, Theo? And he nods his head, and so we all say it together, and he listens. He doesn't try to talk at the same time, but he listens, and that's setting such an example for him. Something regular that's heard, that's the truth, that we want this particular question to get deep down into the hearts of our children, and it helps so much if everybody's eager and excited to say it together.
Is there anything else that your family has learned to say together?
We say the Lord's Prayer together. Often, after Walt has read the Bible, and then he prays, and then he says, we'll say the Lord's Prayer. And the little ones usually join in finishing off a sentence with the last word just the second, split second after we've said it, they'll say it. You know, they learn it. I remember Walter in church when he was 2 years old trying to say the Lord's Prayer, and he'd always get the word in just as we were starting the next phrase, and he could be heard all over the church.
Trespasses. Evil. Kingdom. I can remember saying those words. I mean, hearing my younger brothers and sisters saying them too. And we always ended our family prayers with my father saying, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. And then we all said in unison the Lord's Prayer, or what many of our listeners would call the Our Father.
Mm-hmm. And singing hymns together. We don't do this every night, but we do it often. We go into the living room and we have the InterVarsity hymnal, but we have quite a few copies. So we have one of the younger ones pass out the hymnal to everybody. And either Elizabeth or I sit down at the piano and play the hymns. And it's always the little ones that love it the most, and they love the routine. They love to see everybody do that together, and they love to have it done again the next day.
Can you name two hymns that your family likes?
Praise the Savior, Ye Who Know Him, and...
That's by Fanny Crosby, who wrote about 8,000 hymns. She
right.
was a blind lady, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Great is Thy Faithfulness, and Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. We sang that in a daily vacation Bible school every day 1 year, and my children under 8 really caught on to that song. We did the hand motion. We did made up hand motions to go along with it, and so that's been a favorite of theirs.
We have the idea so often that children can't learn scripture. They can't learn great hymns. We have to give them silly little jingles. Nothing could be further from the truth. We learned the great hymns of the faith. Your children know some of the great hymns of the faith, too. Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage listeners to take advantage of the memorizing powers of little children.
Yes. We've also, at breakfast time, had a passage of Scripture that we're working on together as a family to memorize. And that has been a tremendous help just in our attitudes, even, you know, how conversations can get worse and worse at the mealtime. And if we have a Scripture that we can center on and forget about the nastiness or the criticisms or the "he won't pass the butter to me" problems, then it's wonderful to be able to say a Scripture together and say, what does that mean, to forbear with one another, to be patient with each other? One of the Scriptures we've been memorizing is in Colossians, and it says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, forbearing with one another, and forgiving each other, as Christ has forgiven you." Saying Scripture together has been a great help. I think it's, when you have a large family, it's almost better to have several verses that we are all memorizing together rather than each person having a different verse for the week. I think it helps if we have one passage we're all doing together.
Thank you so much, Val, for being with us. She's the mother of 8 children, so she's had a lot more experience in raising children than I ever had, since Valerie is my only child. But it's always a pleasure and a privilege to have you with me. Thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.